All right, let's get into it. This is an episode of For What It's Worth with Wes Hoffman. Thanks so much for tuning in. It has been a minute since I did a podcast. Oh, getting a little tongue-tied here. It's been a minute. So I'm stoked to bring this back. I missed it. I really just missed doing this podcast and connecting with people throughout the music industry that I've met. And I've, over the last couple of years since I kind of stopped doing this podcast, I have met a lot of new people, and I really just want to, you know, use this as a vehicle to have conversations with them and bring these conversations to the world. So thank you again for tuning in. This episode is with Will Romeo. Will is a good friend of mine from the Bronx, New York. He plays in a band called Neck Scars. He sings and plays guitar, and then also American Thrills. American Thrills is an awesome band that I've been following for pretty much since their inception. They started putting music out in 2020. And then Neck Scars put out an album called Don't Panic a few years ago that I was really into as well. So stoked to have Will on the podcast and talk a little bit about music. So if this is your first time tuning in, my name is Wes Hoffman. I have a band called Wes Hoffman and Friends. We put an album out about a year ago, a little over a year ago, on Jumpstart Records. It's called How It Should Be. And if you want to support the podcast, if you want to support me, you can pick up one of those records. We have a web store. It's WesHoffmanAndFriends.BigCartel.com. Would really appreciate it. But you know, please don't feel obligated. And then yeah, that's pretty much it. Thank you guys for tuning in, and here's my episode with Will Romeo. This is Wes Hoffman. This is For What It's Worth with Wes Hoffman, and I have my buddy here, Will Romeo. How are you?
Hey, what's up, bud? How are you? Thanks for having me.
What?
Thanks for having me.
Dude, absolutely. Absolutely. You're one of the first people I thought of. I talked to Kurt from American Thrills before many years ago. Well, it's been like four or five. But I know, you and I have hung out at that festival in New York last year, and I just hadn't really got a chance to like talk to you about, you know, on the podcast. So,
yeah, those shows in New York, everyone gets a beard out.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially if the Tired Radio guys are hanging out.
Oh, for sure. I remember you and I were hanging out at the bar, and like my guys were like, dude, come on, we're tired. Let's go. It was a long day, but they were all like, come on, man, we're tired. We want to go get food. Like, let's go back to the Airbnb. And I was having a good time just hanging out, talking to you, man.
Yeah, it was great.
So, I'm going to start this one out a little bit different. I did ask, I always put out like, you know, what questions do you have for like my guests? And so I had a couple questions asked, just to make sure that, I asked them to you, before we get to like the end. So I have from Disconnect Records across the pond in the UK. Will, what are your biggest influences when songwriting?
I would say definitely, and that's a great question because, I'm 44. So when I was 16, it was definitely Face to Face.
Yes.
And like Jawbreaker and Descendants. And I think more so as I got into college, it would definitely be more of like some alternative country stuff, but like the Replacements.
Oh, dude, love the Replacements.
Yeah, like, you know, Jason Isbell, Drive By Truckers, and then, you know, all the stuff I grew up listening to, like Quicksand and Sam I Am and Hot Water Music and stuff like that, you know. I feel like the old stuff and the new stuff, it all circles back, and it's all doing the same awesome thing from when you're 16 and when you hit 40.
Yeah, exactly. I feel the same way, man. Multiple of those bands that you list, Face to Face and the Replacements, are like two of my favorites for sure. But I definitely hear those. I hear like Hot Water Music, Quicksand. I hear that in like Neck Scars quite a bit. You know what I mean? Some of that like, you know, you've got the heavier like sound and like kind of the gruff vocals and stuff like that. Can you tell me a little bit about like, okay, do you play a lot of the leads on American Thrill stuff?
I was originally like a fill-in, and then they needed a guitar player, and on the new record, I did a good portion of the leads. Okay. You know, Kurt's like the principal main songwriter, and I, you know, they send me the stuff, and then we get together in the room, and then we lay it down. I play most of the leads and stuff like that.
And then what about in Next Cars? Are you like the shredder in that too?
No. So it's like weird. I started the band, and then I got Colin involved. He was in my old band, Game Day Regulars. And I got my work neighbor friend, Craig, who owns the restaurant next to the restaurant I work at. He got involved on drums. And Justin, I was friends with for a long time. He was in Game Day too, so I got him involved. So Justin plays predominantly most of the leads. Okay. You know, sometimes I'll come up with like a lick or the riff. But this point, Next Cars is like a very much a – we don't have a drummer right now, so we're very much – but it's always been like the new record that's coming out in July, the three of us all brought ideas to the table. So,
hell yeah.
I mean, and it's a very different record. I'll send it to you.
Yeah, dude, I'd love to hear
it. It's very different, and I think you're going to hear stuff from the Don't Panic record, but there's definitely – it's a three-way split in terms of like who's bringing the ideas and the songwriting to the show, and I'm stoked on it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, man. I mean, I just listened to Don't Panic all the way through yesterday. I think I listened to almost every Next Cars song yesterday. So, and I listened to all American Thrills, like the entire discography yesterday too. So I was at work and I had time and I was like, let's just dive in. So but no, man, I'm a big fan of like of your music as well, and then also like,
thank you.
Hearing you play just solo at the show in New York was awesome too. Just kind of having that, you know, it was cool to hear some of those Next Cars songs like stripped down, and I didn't even notice at first. I was like, when you were playing, I was like, oh, like when you were playing Born Sick, I was like, this is a Next Cars song just like stripped down, and definitely had that like that Jason Isbell like sound to it.
Oh yeah, thanks. That's a big compliment hearing it come from you. Definitely a, you know, big influence. And but I think for me personally, as I got older, and like I think I'd say about 90% of the Next Cars songs that like they all can be played on acoustic guitars. Like, that's how it kind of is. To the point that, like, we're doing a show. Me and Colin did a show that we just play acoustic. There's a local bar by me. And we did a Halloween show there right after I got back from the fest. And it was awesome. But, like I said, Kevin from Tired Radio he's been awesome enough to fill in for us on drums. We currently don't have a drummer right now. So we've been using him and Craig, who was in the band, and they've been helping us out. So we're trying to do a little more stuff this year, so we have a few things in the book so far.
Yeah. Well, if you guys come to the Midwest, let me know.
Definitely, you'll be the first person I call.
No, I'm a big fan of Kevin as well from Tired Radio, all those guys are just awesome. So, okay. So next question is from Oh the Humanity, in Massachusetts. Do you know where they're from in Massachusetts?
I think they live all in the surrounding Worcester area, Salem, Worcester.
Yeah, okay.
I've hung out with them at New Bedford,
okay,
Mass, which is out near Cape Cod. But I think they're like that Worcester, Salem area.
Okay, awesome. Yeah,
they were tracking with Trevor.
Yeah,
at New Bedford.
So we just Trevor mixed our new record. That we have.
Oh,
we have
that, new this record. Must sound incredible.
Yeah, I'll send it to you. I've got the masters and everything done for it. So we'll do a little record swap.
Hell yeah!
But
I'm excited. He's amazing.
Yeah, dude, he was great, and he knocked it out like super fast too. I think he had like a certain window of time that he was like, I need to get this done, and he was sending us videos of him mixing it and like posting on Instagram and stuff like. Smoking weed at like, I was getting emails from him at like 2 a.m. like, hey, here's the next mix, you know, let me know what you think. And I'm like, dang, dude, does this guy ever sleep? Like, Okay, so the question is, though, what is your dream guitar rig?
My dream guitar rig? For what band? But I think I have my dream guitar rig for Nexcars. I do play an old JCM-800 and a Les Paul, and that kind of works. But if I did have my dream guitar rig, would be a Les Paul Custom, like or a Black Beauty, an older one, and a JMP.
Okay.
A JMP Marshall, and just a tuner. Just a tuner and a volume pedal, because that's all you really ever need. I'm a big AC/DC guy, and JMPs are just, you know, Bad Religion, everyone, you know, just it's, you know, the 800 has, like, you know, it's a little more juice on it, but yeah, I could use that for any project.
Yeah, dude, I'm the same way. I feel like I have a Con, which is a really small amp, that I got it so that, like, you know, we're from the Midwest, and, like, I don't have a ton of, like, PTO time to take off work. So, like, we fly sometimes when we go do runs, and, like, I wanted something small that I could take with me. But it definitely has, like, that Marshall sound to it. And I'm just like you. Like, I don't really want anything else obstructing the sound of it. I just have a tuner, and I have, like, a tube screamer just for, like, the boost. Yeah, I'm just like, plug it in and go, baby.
Yeah, totally. And it's really like the solid state small stuff these days. Like, I have all the Nexcars guys, we all have quilters to travel with, and they just sound great. And Justin puts a Klon pedal in front of it. I have one of those, the James from Against Me's Bowman Audio Endeavors Klon. That's all I use. That's the tuner. Awesome. And I have a little delay there for stuff, but I'm mostly playing cowboy chords.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. So you were saying that you're born and raised in the Bronx. You know, I'm a Midwest kid. I'm from St. Louis. So we just went and did a tour on the West Coast. We've done some shows out, like, Philly and New York, and we haven't gotten too much into like the, you know, Northeast area yet. But I would be interested in knowing, like, what was it like growing up in New York in the music scene up there?
So I was always exposed to, like, music. Where I live, I live in the Morris Park section. And when I got married, I ended up moving, like, 7 houses from my parents. Me and Justin used to live in the Hudson Valley before we both got married. So, live in Beacon outside of Poughkeepsie. And down the street, there was, like, a recording rehearsal space studio. Like, you know, all those older bands would play there and stuff. And, you know, I recorded our first, like, punk bands there. And It was a weird place, a lot of shady stuff going on, but it was a weird place. But through that, you know, I started getting exposed to some of, like, the underground music, and people like, oh, you got to check out this place in the Bronx called the Blackthorn. So that place, they gave us a shot to play, you know. We'd play on, like, a 10-band bill, and, you know, with, like, the Lower East Side Stitches and Murphy's Law playing at 1 o'clock in the morning. We're playing at 5 in the afternoon on a Friday in the Bainbridge, Kingsbridge section of the Bronx. So that turned into that, but that's where you met, like, people, people. And it was, like, weird for the Bronx, but that opened the doors to, like, seeing your friends. Like, I'm 44. I actually got to play CBGBs.
Yeah, like, that's amazing, like, dude.
You know, they were like, call up CBGBs. They'll give you a Monday night. And then my mom and dad are driving me and my brother in our first punk rock band down to CBGBs to play the Lower East Side in front of them and, like, maybe 7 people that we knew and stuff. And then another band was doing the same thing. And I was like, it sounded bad. It was awesome, but it wasn't like all of it. It wasn't, you know, it was a big deal in our heads when we got there. I'm like, oh man, and everyone was mean. It was so funny. But we've gone it a few times, and as I progressed, I played it before it closed, and I saw some amazing shows there growing up. That was the one awesome thing about living in New York.
Yeah.
Is that and Coney Island High were, like, great spots to see shows in the 90s.
Coney Island what?
Coney Island High. It used to be on St. Mark's Place.
Okay.
So that was my, I was a Fat Records Epitaph kid growing up, and that was, like, the reason I almost failed out of high school. I would go, if you look in, like, the Village Voice and, like, Coney Island High, Jesse Mallon owned it.
Yeah, okay, Jesse Mallon. Yeah, I know him.
He is the owner. It was on St. Mark's Place. St. Mark's was, like, the hub. You'd walk down St. Mark's, you'd see the Bouncing Souls just hanging out on a stoop, And Monday night, band from Santa Rosa, California, Brackets playing on a Monday night. Oh, they're on Fat Records. Right after high school, get on the subway, go downstairs, stay out way later than I should. But I saw, and it's funny, I saw a lot of like bands that I've, like, there was this band called Lounge. And Lounge is John Neclario from Nada Recording, who does all the Next Scars records. But I used to go see his band play all the time. They were always opening, either in Poughkeepsie or down in the city, for them or a band called Cooter that eventually came autopilot off.
I remember them, yeah.
That's that whole Hudson Valley scene. And those guys were on, like, every show. Like, they were always playing down there. Or there was another band called Latex Generation. So, and you'd see all those bands on the shows, on these shows. So I saw No Use for a Name.
Wow.
I tried to get in. Bad Religion did three nights there, but it sold out instantly. It was like a small club. They sold Lucy cigarettes at the concession there. It was like that's that. Awesome. It was typical New York, Lower East Side stuff. I saw, the, you know, Less Than Jake played there. You know, Mustard Plug. Like, every ska punk band that was doing stuff was on a show there. And then, like, the notable, like, just, you know, Burn. It was like the spot amongst the Continental, CB's. There was the Wetlands, Tramps. I mean, it was a great time to see music.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you feel like you know? So I'm in St. Louis, and like I feel like St. Louis is a good town for us because like it's not a super huge city like Chicago or New York or LA or San Francisco. So it's like easier for a lot of the bands here to kind of get people to come. It's not super oversaturated is kind of what I'm trying to say. Like, do you feel like it's been in a place like New York where there's so much happening that it's been difficult to stand out and like get people to come out to your shows and stuff? Because there's like so many things happening.
Well, I think like nowadays music has just become a little more disposable and like concert prices have gone up and people, you know, tend to be more of homebodies. And in New York, venues are always closing.
Yeah.
They're always closing and reopening. So it's really hard for like a new band to really try to do it locally like the way you could 20 years ago. So it's just kind of like, you know, so many bands like just built their like careers playing out of New York and eventually moved to do become a national band and then maybe even like, you know, like holding, packing out big rooms and stuff, you know, but it's really hard to do. I think it's just like, it's, you know, venues are, it's, you know, it's like $20 to go to a local show sometimes now. Yeah. And you know, people are like, I just kind of just want to go there to the bar and have to, people end up doing their own things. It is harder, but like, I don't know. I still think it's really important for bands to play live shows and for younger bands to like to tour,
yeah,
like the way people did in the 90s. I think it's, even if you maybe not getting the gain that you did in the 90s or in the early 2000s, you should get the experience and learn all the things a pro musician should learn as they progress and move up to the next levels. I think it's like, you know, like the whole thing's like sleeping on people's floors and like, you know staying and watching other bands the other night and making those like friendship connections like the one me and you have.
yeah no, absolutely, dude. I have like really I've cut back on it a little bit, but like I've been trying to help bands from here like tour a little bit, you know what I mean? And like, and I have like a little boutique booking agency that I've been running for almost a year now, and just kind of because I feel like there are a lot of bands here that like where do you go after you've kind of, I don't want to say conquered one market, but like you can only play locally so much to the point where you're playing to the same people, you're playing to your friends, like especially in a place like St. Louis where it's not very big and the percentage of people that like punk rock music is even smaller. You know what I mean? So you just end up playing, if you're playing once a month, you end up playing to all the same people. And I really found like if we hit Nashville, if we hit Louisville, if we hit Chicago, all these places that are just within like a few hours away from us, if we hit those places once or twice a year, it's first of all, I enjoy it. I love traveling. I love meeting new people. I love making the connections. But like it also just, you know, now we're finally starting to see those places that we've hit like 3, 4, 5 times, people, like, the crowds are getting bigger and people are coming up to us saying, like, oh yeah, Kansas City, like, I saw you guys at Minibar last time, or I saw you guys at this place, or, you know, I saw you guys here. I think, like, that's just, like, what you said, like, the natural progression that I want to take, like, of, you know, kind of trying to get a little bit bigger and, you know, just progressing. And, I'm a big fan of just, like, the logistics of, I don't even want to say, like, music is a business, you know, but I hate kind of saying it that way, but just, like, the logistics of how things get done, you know what I mean? And I think that's kind of what you were getting at, is, like, learning those things and having those experiences. And, yeah, I think it's super important.
It's super important. I think the one, like, one example that was really great was American Thrills. We played, like, a hall show in their town in Milford, Connecticut a couple weeks ago. And it was in a church basement. But every kid there was probably 30 years younger than me, or maybe like 10, 25 years younger, but they were all excited. Yes. And that was like such a great thing to see. I felt like that, like when I was younger, just like I met Kurt. He used to come see my old hardcore band play when he was like 14. And like, you know, he was like getting into music and he was just stoked to be at like a show. Like, you know, like at a VFW, and he felt that sense of community. And I think it was like so great. And like, once, I don't know, you don't get offered many hall shows nowadays. Like, it was a thing. And like, so it was really great. And the promoter that was doing it, I was like, you know, his heart was in the right place. And he was like so excited. And I think that's the, if you're not having fun doing it, and if no one's having fun, then don't do it. So that's really what it comes down to for me. Like,
oh, absolutely, man. I feel like that's always like, you know, I talk to the guys in my band and I'm like, if I didn't love doing this, I wouldn't be pushing. So like, I really do truly enjoy doing this and helping other, I like it so much that I want to help other people do it that I think would enjoy it too. So, so tell me a little bit about like, so NextGars, you got this new record coming out. American Thrills just, released a new record. Tell me a little bit about this this new NextGars release, and you know, you said the sound is a little bit different, but I'd be interested in hearing just kind of you know, when are you guys releasing it? You know, do you got any singles off of it out that are out yet?
So yes, so January of 2024, the four of us booked a music retreat house in the like. Upstate New York, 4.5 hours away in Ithaca, New York.
Hell yeah.
Cornell University is there, Ithaca College.
Yeah.
We found this retreat Airbnb house.
It's where Road Trip was. Road Trip was, the movie Road Trip was set in Ithaca, New York.
Yeah. So Colin is like a logistics guy, and he loves finding the best spot. So he did some research and found this place, and it was really cool. It was the middle of nowhere. It was snowing. We took all the ideas we had and went down. We played for 12 hours a day.
Wow.
Hung out. Drank a ton. played all day long. Cooked dinner. Then just hung out at night and like all connected as friends again. I felt like just life was so – we were just not able because of, you know, our lives, work, family, all that stuff, to just like, this was like the perfect escape. There was all we could do was play. We got all these songs together, we demoed them out, and then we came back, we worked on them some more, and then we booked time at Nada Recording, and then we recorded it this year. So it was a really great progression. And yes, we have released two singles off of it, but it hasn't been announced yet. I just feel like nowadays you can release music and, you know, and just start building your record. And once the final comes out, you know, people are more likely to potentially buy it. But so we're going to, it's called Passive Aggressive Pickup Trucks.
Okay, yeah.
We just released another song a couple weeks called Dual Roads. And the record is called Unhinged.
Okay.
And we all had ideas. There was like the three of us brought ideas to the table, garage band, Logic demoed, and we just worked on them. And it was a really, like, really different approach. And it was awesome for me because I had these ideas, and then I had like, I sat with them when I was writing the lyrics for all of them on like acoustic guitar, doing demos at home. And it was really, we went into the studio really prepared. So, you know, we definitely were, set to capture like a certain vibe, and we had a lot of discussions about it and stuff. So we're all pretty happy about how it all turned out and stuff. And there's some skate punk on there.
Hell yeah.
There's some like 90s grunge. We have a country song on there that was like a skate punk song that we made into a country song that we released on this Fest comp. It used to be called Ray of Pain, but now it's called The Song You Used to Know.
Okay.
And we got Cody Nielsen. He's a pedal steel player in Rhode Island. He played steel on it.
Oh, that's cool.
So, yeah, and it was, you know, and we worked on it at Nada Recording like we do most of our records. And Sean Paul, Pillsworth, he plays in a band called Nightmares for a Week. He mixed it. We did Split with them and American Thrills and Tired Radio a few years ago.
I have that. Yeah, I have that. Yeah. It was a Sell the Heart was like a part of putting that out. Yeah, it's like a little like yeah, I have that.
Yeah, picture this.
Yeah, I ordered that.
So we hopefully this record will, we've been talking to Andy at Sell the Heart and engineers on board to do it. So I think it's going to be out in the end of July or early August. That's the plan. Okay. We're art's done. It's, you know, we had Dan Coutant, who used to be in this Hudson Valley band called Joshua. I think it's Sunroom Audio or Sun Audio. I forget. That's his mastering, but he's worked on the last few things we've done, and he's great. Yeah, you know, definitely we found the secret sauce with him for mastering. So, so it comes out and we're all pretty stoked on it. And gonna, you know, trying to see where Kevin's at. So, Craig's here. So we need a drummer to do it. So yeah. Play some shows.
Yeah, absolutely, man. No, I loved hearing about, that you guys like found a place to go like retreat and play and like kind of flesh out all the ideas. Like, I've always wanted to do something like that. And, in my band, I pretty much write everything, you know, except for the drum parts. Like, I get together with our drummer Hez, and I'll kind of be like, okay, well, I know that in the garage band demo, it has this, but I was thinking more of this, and he'll add his own thing into, but I've always wanted to do something like that. So that sounds like an awesome experience. How many days were you guys up there?
4.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and the snow was getting so bad. I was like, oh man, I'm like, we're like leaving. I'm like, I had like my wife's like truck. I was like, man, but we left at like 5 a.m. I had to get back to work that like 11 o'clock that day because it was snowing so weird the night before. But we got out of there, all made it back home. But it was a great experience. If you and your band members don't get it on each other's nerve, I highly recommend any band to do it. We all like each other, so
yeah.
So it's all like, yeah, it was a good time. Like, you know, we were all friends before this, so it was awesome to like, you know, and it was a good bonding experience. We were like, couldn't really, you know, it was kind of middle of nowhere. It was kind of hard to order food. You had to drive places to get things.
Yeah.
So it was like kind of awesome to just like, we cooked dinner. I work at a restaurant. I brought catering up.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we had a really good time. Everybody brought their favorite bottle of bourbon. Everything was gone by the end of the day.
I love that. That's freaking awesome.
The hot tub was fun. There was a hot tub, and so it was like blizzarding, and you're in a hot tub, like drinking beer.
Yeah, we just had a little on our last tour. We had a place with a hot tub, and we all got in it like after the show that night. It was really cool.
Great way to unwind.
yeah, dude. I love a good hot tub. It takes a really long time for the. I didn't know this. It takes like a long time for them to heat up, though. Like, I got in it before the show, and it was only like 80 degrees. Like the water is only 80 degrees, and you want it to be like 105 or something like that. So I was like, okay, let's set this, and then let's go to the show. And we came back, and it was like blistering hot. And I was like, yes.
Yeah, that's great when it's like 19 degrees and there's snow coming down too.
Right. That's awesome. Well, dude, I mean, that's pretty much everything I got. You know, I want to be sensitive to your time. I know you're getting ready to go to practice and everything. But dude, I'm looking forward to, I know that we're doing a tour with American Thrills, this summer.
Kicks off in Oklahoma City with us. I'm stoked.
Yeah.
June.
Have you played Oklahoma City before?
many, many years ago. Okay. Like, and I didn't even play. I used to sell merch for this band called Action Action.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I forgot Clark's girlfriend actually had a home in Oklahoma City, so we would pass through there, and just it was always like we'd have to stay at a hotel or someone's house. We had like his girlfriend's house. It was great.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it's gonna be fun, man. I'm looking forward to hanging out with you and you know, sharing more stories and stuff like that. Where can people find you on the internet if they want to know about all things Will Romeo?
You can find me on Instagram, Will Romeo Town.
Okay.
And the bands are at NextGuards, at American Thrills.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Awesome, man.
Awesome.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to you know, hanging out this summer, and I'll get this podcast up here probably by the end of the week. So
awesome. Thanks so much for having me. I love what you're doing.
Thanks, brother.
Have a great one. Thank you, Wes.
You too, man.
All right, everyone. That is the conclusion of the next season of the first episode of the next season of For What It's Worth. Really appreciate you tuning in. Make sure you go follow Will, listen to all his projects, listen to NextGuards, listen to American Thrills, listen, go check out Sell the Heart Records, which is their label. Andy from that label is a good friend of mine. So yeah, we will see you guys next time. I'm not sure when that will be, but look for the next episode out soon. Peace.